Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now entering our 15th year. This week, the GGB Podcast features an interview with Joe Papano, the Senior Vice President and Managing Director for WorldPay Gaming, on why payment processing is the next big hurdle that gaming must overcome. Today's GGB Podcast is brought to you by GLI, staging its annual Regulators Roundtable this March 4th and 5th in Las Vegas at the Tropicana. Visit GamingLobs.com for information and registration. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got to install microwave ovens. Custom kitchen delivery. When was the last time you wrote a check or pulled out cash to pay for anything? Right, I thought so. But if you're a casino player, that's how you roll, which eliminates a wide percentage of the younger demographic. So it's imperative that the casino industry, both online and land-based, figure out a solution to payment processing. Joe Papano has been involved in gaming payments for almost 30 years and understands what the customer wants and what regulators will allow when it comes to depositing and collecting cash from casino clients. He spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas in October.
Joining us on the podcast. It's good to see you here at G2E.
Thank you.
Busy time. I come down to our nice, quiet, cool room and
Amen.
And put
Amen.
Your feet up. But thanks for coming by. You've been involved in payments for as long as I've known you, for what, 10, 15 years now?
Going on 28 years.
Oh, okay. But I mean, gaming, I think we met about 15 years ago.
We did, yes.
So, I've always considered you really one of the experts at in this field and somebody who really understands, you know, how it's going to work for the casino industry.
Thanks for those kind words.
So last time we talked, you were with Vantiv, and since then that company was bought by WorldPay. Tell us how that came about.
Yeah, actually it was a merger. Mm-hmm. Vantiv, our core competency has really been more of the retail payments, from a payments perspective,
right.
The retail simplifying payment innovation. We merged with a UK-based company mm-hmm. called WorldPay, very e-commerce centric, mm-hmm. great skill, depth, expertise, and really more of an international UK, Europe, rest mm-hmm. of the world provider, and it just complemented well the overall value proposition of the collective assets of Vantiv,
right.
Which was more retail, omni-channel focused, uh-huh. and then the international focus, e-commerce focus of WorldPay. And because of the brand recognition,
right.
Obviously we kept WorldPay given the, you know, it's pretty
of
self-explanatory
course, right.
yes, in yes. terms of all the jurisdictions that we operate in
right.
In the world.
And they've merged with other payment suppliers, I know. Skrill, I believe, is under their umbrella, correct?
No. Skrill is under Paysafe.
Okay.
However, we did go through another recent merger
right.
With FIS,
okay.
which is really more capital markets, financial services-centric mm-hmm. Entity. The combination of Vantiv, WorldPay, and WorldPay, now FIS,
okay.
We are the largest payments company in the world.
Okay.
We are also the largest payments company in the world supporting the gaming and gambling industry. So we're excited
okay.
about
yeah.
it. A number of different assets, value that we continue to bring to the market.
Okay. So let's dig into the payment system here. We've got in all other facets of life, we're able to use our credit card or just our phone or you don't come out of your pocket with cash anymore, except for the casino business. You know, we're still stuck in that rut where you have to bring cash to the casino and you have to be able to convert it at the casino. Now, in the past, you were connected with Sightline at one point where there was a system where the two or three steps you got it and you had your money on a card and you could use it. But, nowadays, it's all transparent. It's all like one step. Are we ever going to get there in the gaming industry?
Yeah. So what I would tell you is, and it really started back in 2013. You had the convergence of two highly complex, highly innovative, highly regulated industries finally converging in payments and gaming. And that started with the rollout of online gaming in Nevada, Delaware, and New Jersey.
Right.
And when you start to take a look at, there's been a great appreciation of the governance, the oversight, and the controls that exist
right.
in both industries. And what we've been working toward, you know, is what's happening on the gaming floor. You're seeing there is starting to become a convergence of cashless initiatives being rolled out on the non-gaming side, because at the end of the day, the integrated casino resort wants to create one unified,
right.
one frictionless experience
right. mm-hmm.
for the consumer. Knowing that the evolution of online gaming and now the brisk movement and rollout of sports betting,
right.
they want a true omni-channel offering. And the common denominator in all that, and obviously the critical aspect is payments. That
mm-hmm.
becomes the nucleus of
right.
how I can seamlessly move money in and out. And what's happening is there's been a number of individuals, key stakeholders in the industry, whether it's the legislators, the regulators, the key ancillary service providers, the system providers, the operators. Everyone is aligning toward that same common goal of how do we start to innovate? Because payments is a highly innovative industry,
sure, right?
Right? Like,
no,
let's
no
think about it. You can conduct commerce on a wearable.
Right.
I can do facial
right.
recognition
mm-hmm.
to conduct a transaction.
Yeah.
So the payments industry is moving at this very rapid pace. And now there's been the inflection point that it's finally starting to cascade in within the integrated casino resort, and it's starting because of the movement online.
Right.
The payment companies, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, all now have a tremendous appetite to support this industry, knowing that it's very good activity. And why should you have a bifurcated experience when I walk on in an integrated casino resort? My experience is frictionless, and as soon as I step on the gaming floor, then all of a sudden I have to utilize cash, and
right.
we're moving toward a cashless society. I will tell you there's been a lot of work and discussions with the corresponding regulators, because as you well know, you know, many of the state statutes and the corresponding gaming regulatory environment and the actual operating regs based on the various control boards, you know, in many jurisdictions don't allow a financial instrument to be utilized on the gaming floor.
Right.
And a lot of that comes, though, through education and awareness
mm-hmm.
to understand that the payment ecosystem, from purely a responsible gaming perspective, provides a true audit of every financial transaction
right.
versus the anonymous nature of cash
mm-hmm.
coming onto the casino floor. The payments industry is time-tested, well-proven. It's a very complex but yet seamless ecosystem. And I think the one of the most important tied to responsible gaming is you have inherited protections, consumer protections that exist
right.
by utilizing a financial instrument. And then obviously you have the various velocity and controls that you can set limits are set, whether I'm using a debit card, a prepaid card, or a traditional credit card. The ability to go max out a credit card in the gambling ecosystem or for a gambling
sure.
transaction is not possible given the controls that exist based on spend versus open to buy limit versus a specific merchant category
right.
code. So you have this massive ecosystem. Everyone's aligned to the same goal, and now it's requiring a lot, and no different than how we rolled out online gaming back
yep.
in 13.
Right.
It's a repeatable model, same blueprint of grabbing the key stakeholders, working with the regulators, the key ancillary service providers, everyone involved, the networks, the issuing banks, because now we have the aggressive support from the networks and the issuing banks to really support this ecosystem
right, right.
in a true omni-channel offering.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And sports betting has really been an impetus for this to move forward quickly now. Because,
that's correct.
Because we see in New Jersey, 80% of the market is operating on mobile devices. People register for their sports betting accounts from their couch, you know, so they don't have to come into a casino like they do here in Nevada. So this has really provided that impetus. But I still find that there's still problems. I was in New Jersey this summer. I wanted to register for the PointsBet app. The very very innovative odds and things of that nature, but I couldn't deposit because I'm one of those people that don't want them to have access to my bank account, you know. So none of my credit cards worked. Are we ever going to get over that?
So we have made tremendous movement as an industry in regards to educating the networks and the issuing mm-hmm. banks. And just recently, over the last, call it 6 months, in 2019, we've had some key banks come into the market to provide additional acceptance. Mm-hmm. So you had Citizens Bank, you had TD Bank, and then recently you had Wells Fargo in support of sports betting activity via mobile and or at the retail sports book. Right now, you have we've come out quite a long way mm-hmm. over the last 7 years, 6 years from 2013 with the sports betting or the online gaming.
Right.
But if you take a look at there are really three issuers left that we're working with others in the networks. You have Bank of America, you have Chase, and you have Capital One. Mm-hmm. Capital One is a more credit-centric issuer, which may take a little bit longer, but you have B of A and Chase, which have a hybrid debit credit portfolio mix. So we feel quite bullish of their entry and support of the online gaming or sports betting market here in 2020, maybe Q1, Q2. Mm-hmm. I will also add, which creates another validation or point of credibility and validation legitimizing the market based on understanding the controls are in place and what have you, is you also have Discover and American Express, mm-hmm. who have never participated in online gaming or gambling, that have now entered the market. Okay. So the Discover Network and now American Express. Okay. So when you, and if you think about why that's important, in the U.S. market, unlike the U.K., Europe, or the rest of the world, where you have hundreds of different payment methods, hundreds of different currencies that have to be supported, there's a common payment ecosystem in the U.S., a singular payment system that works very seamless amongst all 50 states. So I would argue it's been an industry-wide collaboration and efforts to really drive change, and the networks have been tremendously supportive because the appropriate framework has been in place. So back to that education and awareness with regulators, that also goes back to the issuing banks, but you need a framework. So in order to conduct a online transaction, you have to have a reasoned legal opinion within the jurisdiction.
Right.
A nice third-party audit of the controls demonstrating AML, KYC, geolocation, age verification, that the appropriate controls are in place and the appropriate licensing and what have you. That provides a confidence that the appropriate controls are in place onto the issuing bank. And right now we've made, as an industry, tremendous movement from when we started. That naturally cascades down into that integrated casino resort and getting card acceptance, whether it's an account wallet, whether it's a prepaid offering, whatever that looks like, that is going to have and be a direct beneficiary of what's happened online because now you have support of the networks and issuers.
Okay. So was this, did this come out of the AGA initiative for the modernizing of the payment systems?
I think, you know, this has been, there's been a lot of operators discussing this for quite some time because if you think about their customer mix today, and I'm making a general statement, but directionally correct, you know, and it depends on market and location. But if you think about a Nevada-based operator, integrated casino resort, close to maybe half their revenues are coming from non-gaming activity.
Right.
And if you start to look at all the different generations, Gen X, Gen Y, you pick it, all these generations, as we get younger, they don't use cash.
Right.
So we're moving toward a cashless society. Mm-hmm. And if they're coming into my integrated casino resort, hitting the bar, spa, restaurant, having nightlife activities, whatever it may be, they're not carrying cash. And if they're inevitably going to infiltrate and come on the gaming floor, how are they going to conduct that activity? We live in a world of instant gratification. Mm-hmm. We want to buy what we want now, where we buy it, how we buy it. We dictate that. That same consumer experience and making sure, though, that financial transaction is we're protecting the integrity of those transactions, the brands and the player. We're doing it responsibly with the appropriate controls and velocity. That needs to be, and it's infiltrating, obviously, the integrated casino resort on the gaming side.
Sure. And in addition to the integrated casino resort, we're also talking about now stadiums and arenas being involved in sports betting. Again, you buy your tickets online. You know, can't even scalp tickets anymore because there's nobody outside the stadium who's selling them. So you have to buy it all online. You go inside, you buy your food and beverage online.
And it's a great point, and they're all tangentially right. related, whether it's the online, mm-hmm. the brisk online movement of right. legalizing sports betting and online gaming versus the payment modernization initiative that's being driven by Bill Miller, the CEO and president of the AGA. He has a great supporting cast mm-hmm. and team around him. Right. There's great alignment and a great blueprint to truly move toward cashless. And I want to be clear, we're not talking replacing cash.
Right.
We need to make sure consumers and players have options. Mm-hmm. And one of those options, and we know a big driver, is the ability to leverage cashless.
Right.
That third initiative, which is critical and, as I mentioned, related, is the movement of stadiums, entertainment venues, sporting arenas. They want to unify the consumer experience. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is via a mobile right. app, and the driver behind that is payments. Mm-hmm. And if you think about those, sports books are being put in stadiums.
Right.
They want to be cashless. Mm-hmm. Entertainment venues outside the stadium.
Right.
And it's all related. Mm-hmm. And when you take a look at the movement of sports betting and how that all ties together, inevitably they want to understand who their consumer is, how do I incentivize them, how do I continue to drive value, and what that lifetime value and how can I incentivize, and you need to make it frictionless.
Right.
So a lot of different initiatives, that's what's so exciting and why I get passionate about this industry is there is so many great growth opportunities to truly lean this industry forward, and there are great constituents from all different areas within the gaming industry that are aligned to continue to do this in a very disciplined manner and make sure we're always keeping a mindful eye on protecting those financial transactions and making sure from a responsible gaming perspective that everything, there is a clear audit and everything is controlled from an ongoing perspective on behalf of the player.
Okay.
Our sponsor this week is GLI, staging its annual North American Regulators Roundtable. The event takes place March 4th and 5th at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. GLI's Roundtable is a two-day educational conference that provides attendees with the opportunity to participate in high-level discussions with industry thought leaders and peers. Registration for GLI's Regulators Roundtable is open now. For information and registration, visit GamingLabs.com and catch the vision for 2020. Now back to our interview.
Well, one area that may not be totally aligned with you are the regulators. I mean, for years they've resisted the use of cards at a slot machine or any of the other transactional devices. You can use a card, but you have to set up a different account and deposit money into that account. So how is this going to work that you're going to be able to satisfy the regulators?
Well, I think there's no silver bullet that's
right.
going to solve it tomorrow.
Right.
You know, at Worldpay, mm-hmm. We believe in truly a very disciplined approach of nurturing education, mm-hmm. thought leadership. You know, when I take a look at the operators need to address, right, they know from a competitive perspective and knowing that individual spends anywhere on average, it's 8 to 10% of your discretionary income mm-hmm. is spent on some form of entertainment.
Right.
The casino industry is competing with other industries that are rolling out cashless initiatives. So they're highly motivated. The system providers need to provide an ecosystem, whether it's an account wallet or mm-hmm. some form of an account that gets funded that can be utilized, throughout the property, regardless
right.
of the point of interaction
right.
that you're engaged or conducted with. So when you start to think about all that, it's really going to just be this methodical approach of educating the regulators mm-hmm. in regards to, look, we've done some pretty historic things as an industry related to the evolution and support of legalizing sports betting.
Right.
Now it's taking that same blueprint and sitting back and say, how in a very disciplined manner can we roll out? How can we modify our regs to support some form of cashless initiative. And I'm, the goal is you want to have that consistent right. amongst all the jurisdictions.
Exactly, right.
Now, that is, to me, going to be the bigger challenge. You're going to have one jurisdiction that says, hey, I want to do more of an account funding. Someone else may want to do Y or some derivative or right. flavor of. But if we can, as an industry, align on here is what it would look like, the protections that are in place, it's just going to be this methodical approach. So I look at where we were back in 2013 mm-hmm. to where we're at now.
Right.
It just gives me more excitement of here's how the industry has aligned, and inevitably we're going to get cashless, some form of cashless as an option
sure.
rolled out in the integrated casino resort. The only thing I would also add is best practices in other industries have already done this.
Yeah.
The state lottery, which is an $80 billion cash industry, has been very progressive. Mm-hmm. So if you take a look at a number of state lotteries
right.
have already evolved mm-hmm. to cashless, whether it's online or back to a lottery outlet or a unattended kiosk.
Right.
And they've initiated cashless initiatives. So there's a lot of best practices that can be shared
right.
from a regulator perspective, whether it's a lottery commission or a gaming commission, and how do we bring that together that we can start to progress and get more of a unified offering on how cashless right. can be adopted mm-hmm. Within lottery or any gaming gambling ecosystem.
Right. So you mentioned responsible gaming a couple of times, and I think that's really the key. If you can show regulators that you'll actually be able to identify a problem gambler by using these cashless systems, you know, more effectively than you could, you know, by somebody who carries a pocket full of cash into a casino, I think you're going to be able to make that sell quicker than you'd make it in any other way.
Yeah, and look, that, first and foremost, that is the most important.
Right.
There are a lot of perceptions that exist in the market surrounding the ability to use a financial instrument in gaming.
Right.
Many perceptions. We have to sit down and truly respect those perceptions as an industry and really work with to help them understand that the having an audit trail of every single financial transaction, the velocity and controls and limits that are imposed on a traditional credit card, how debit cards work, the demarcation between a credit card and a debit card, and how debit cards work related to it's money that I already have within my depository or checking account. There are self-imposed limits that can be placed. Then there's the ability to put minimums, like instead of, like, for example, in lottery.
Right.
One of the state lotteries rolled out, hey, I'm going to give you three options, $25, $50, $100. Mm-hmm. So to limit that,
right.
you know, anomaly of a $500,000 transaction
right.
occurring. So, and if you think about the payment ecosystem, you know, we're the last mile, right? Simplifying payment innovation and controlling that last mile. There's other controls that exist from an operator perspective, mm-hmm. from a system manufacturer perspective.
Right.
So think of it as more of a belt and suspender approach. There's controls from a responsible gaming, self-inclusion,
right.
how they monitor the transaction that exists. And then when you finally are able to utilize a financial transaction, then you have another layer of controls that exists surrounding responsible gaming. So that, to me, is the most important in any of this. Because of all the perceptions, we just have to be very, very disciplined in regards to that messaging and creating the education and awareness. And that is how this industry will continue to evolve. And it's got to be centered around responsible gaming and ensuring and giving everyone the confidence that there's not going to be rogue activity or,
right.
you know, this, you know, ongoing spending that nobody could control. Otherwise, take a look at how the anonymous nature of cash,
sure.
right? So that's
right.
there's a lot of balance points within that.
And of course, if you do go cashless and you have that system in place, you pretty much eliminate the problem with money laundering.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's, you know, I appreciate that comment. I don't know if you ever can eliminate, right? Something else will
yeah.
come up, right? I think we're all, you know, maybe I'm just schizophrenic. You always got to
right.
you got to keep understanding of, hey, there may be additional issues that come up, but if we're all mindful of it and we do this in a very pragmatic manner, I don't know if AML gets solved or not, but it does, right? When you electronify, when you electronify an industry and you have the appropriate controls for age, you have the appropriate controls on the KYC, you have the AML policies, process, everything in place, it does create a more insulated, a more protected ecosystem to conduct that commerce within a gaming ecosystem.
Right. We did an article, or one of my writers opined, one of the problems with sports betting right now is that you could possibly use it for money laundering by betting, making a big bet in one state and making the opposite bet in the other state, and you'll lose the vig, but you will be able to possibly launder that money. And so do you pay attention to, you know, one state to another and what's happening on the betting surface there?
Yeah, I mean, right now you have 13 states that have legalized sports betting. Of the 13, you have seven that are now live with a mobile component. And mobile meaning, you know, and there's different variations, like what's rolling out in Iowa, you have to have, you know, an 18-month window where you physically have to go in and sign up. You know, what I will tell you is there's still it's still in its infancy state, right? We do monitor the financial transactions, right? We do provide the various data points and things of that nature back to the operators. I know the platform providers, the operators have great tools in place and checks and balances, and I know they're doing a lot of monitoring. I think it's still too new, right? I think it's, you know, you have organizations like SWIMA that's being led by George Rover. I mean, there's a lot of good things happening in this space to, again, lean the industry forward. So it's not, oh, hey, WorldPay, how can you solve X, or how company Y can solve, you know, the other item. It's a true collaborative effort in the industry. And that's what's so excited, because of the opportunity that exists to truly provide dynamic change from everyone involved in the ecosystem, and more importantly, truly address, give the consumer or player options, and obviously provide that frictionless experience that we have everywhere else in our lives outside of stepping on the gaming floor.
Sure, great. Well, Joe, thanks for joining us. I want to stay in touch, though, because I really believe this is the next big initiative in the industry. After, and it's been spawned by sports betting, but after sports betting kind of cools off, I think this is going to be the next big one, the cashless payment system.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it, and obviously we respect everything you've been able to do, continue to do, and let us know, and we'll keep providing updates.
Okay,
thanks again, Roger. Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this week's GGB podcast, brought to you by GLI, staging its annual Regulators Roundtable this March 4th and 5th at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. To learn more about payment processing in the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the industry on your desktop every Monday morning, subscribe to GGB News at GGBNews.com. And to attract quality players to your online poker, casino, or sports betting website, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. And we'll see you next week on the GGB podcast.